Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs 7, the writer describes the young man that is led astray by the harlot. And in verse 24, he begins his discourse to his son, saying, "Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths," referring back to that harlot. "For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep depth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment. When he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable place of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men." Stop there and we'll pray. Our gracious, merciful Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to gather once again. Lord, we're thankful that you've given us a heart that desires to meet together. We're thankful that you've called us and given us a loving desire to come and hear of our Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed once more. Father, you've blessed us so richly. You've saved us. You've called us, gathered us together. More than that, you've given us one another. You've given us a love that men don't understand. A love of Christ, a love for His truth, a love for one another. Lord, we know it's not of our work, but of yours. Father, as we meet tonight, Lord, send forth your word. Oh, give it power. Cause it to turn our eyes to Christ. Cause our hearts to be filled. Give us a time of which the cares of this world fade away and we can see the brightness of your glory. Father, thank you for your mercies towards us. Thank you for giving us this place together. Thank you for giving us men who are faithful to proclaim Christ. And Lord, keep your hand upon this congregation. Lord, keep us true to the Scriptures. Fill us with wisdom, Lord, your wisdom, not the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom of Christ that speaks excellent things of you. Father, for those who are unable to be here, for those who are sick and tried and troubled of heart, Lord, we pray your blessing upon them. Return them to us, if it be your will. And Father, give traveling mercies to Donnie and bring him home safely to us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, if you would, join me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Tonight, by God's grace, I hope to show how it is absolutely essential that Christ be both the power and wisdom of God in the salvation of sinners. Then, to give a glimpse into the application of wisdom and power in the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, the application of wisdom and power in the redeemed sinner. Our first point, it is absolutely essential that Christ be both the power and wisdom of God in the salvation of sinners. Power is the ability or strength to perform. Christ, as he walked this earth in the flesh, demonstrated he is the power of God by his ability to heal, to bring life, to control the elements, and to forgive sins. Christ not only has power to redeem, but he is the power of God. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. When I was going to school, we knew that there would be a test on a specific day. Knowledge is knowing that you have a test coming. Wisdom would be studying to prepare for that test. And extending that example to include power, power would be showing up on the day of the test and taking the test. As I said, it is essential that Christ be both the power and the wisdom in the salvation of sinners. What if Christ was one without the other? What if Christ had the power without the wisdom? Well, I've learned that dealing with complex things, it is easier to break it down into simple terms. So we'll apply this to the same example of taking the test. If I know the test is coming, and I have the power to take it, I show up on the day of the test, and I am in the classroom, but I did not apply myself. I did not apply wisdom and prepare for that test. I'm not going to do well on that test. I will fail. What of the opposite? What if I have the wisdom to take the test or to prepare for the test, and I have studied and I've prepared, but on the day of the exam, I am unable to get to the classroom? I do not have the power to show up. Same result. I have failed. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, and he successfully did so because he is the power and the wisdom of God. Second point tonight, would you see the exercise of the power and wisdom of God? Come with me to a hill outside of Jerusalem. There, nailed to a cross, with a man on either side of him, is one Jesus of Nazareth. Why here? How can anyone see wisdom in the crucifixion of a man? Well, here at this place, we find the answer to the age-old question that Job asked. How should man be just with God? Man who drinketh, that is, he continually drinks iniquity like water, how can he be just with God? The answer is before us on that center cross. There hangs a man, bloody, beaten, his visage was so marred more than any man. Do you know the charge that has brought him to be hung on a cross to suffer so? What Roman law has he broken to be submitted to such a horrific death? There is none. Pilate and Herod both said that he had done nothing worthy of death. Indeed, in summing up our Lord's walk in the flesh, Peter said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What we have here then, hanging on this center cross, is an innocent man. An innocent man hangs on a cross, and this shows forth the wisdom of God. Doesn't this just show forth the injustice? Oh, but now you've got to know more about this man hanging on this center cross. This is not just a man. This is the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, in whom God the Father is well pleased. This man is our high priest, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Higher than the heavens. But he's nailed to a Roman cross, held fast against his will, and suffering an unjust death as a sinner. You say he's higher than the heavens? And you say the wisdom of God is displayed here? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. As God is infinitely and unchangeably holy, he cannot pass over or simply ignore the transgression of sin. The justice of God demands payment and satisfaction for those sins. To satisfy God's justice, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. There must be found one that has life. And this excludes all who are born of Adam. For as in Adam, all die. But Christ our Lord, being born of the Virgin, is not the seed of Adam. But he is the promised seed of woman. He is life. And with his death, God's justice can be satisfied. But he's done no wrong. He's sinless, so how can he die? Now we see the wisdom of God. God, in his wisdom, made Christ Jesus to be sin for us. He who never committed a sin took upon himself the sin of those he came to die for, so that God might be just in condemning his Son to die, fulfilling the righteous penalty of death. Having made his own soul an offering for sin, God is just to make all those for whom he died righteous and holy. For we are made the righteousness of God in him. And wisdom is justified of her children. Witness also the last moments of our Lord as he completes the transaction to fulfill the law's command, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. For 3 hours, the world hung in darkness as Christ Jesus suffered the wrath of God due to my sin upon him. At the end of that 3 hours, this dying man, who is thirsty, he's parched, he's endured the heat of the day, he's endured the agony of the flesh, he's endured being forsaken of his Father. So much so that any other man, it would have been impossible, most likely, for him to speak. Possibly in a whisper. But at the end of those 3 hours, this man cries out with a loud voice, and he gave up the ghost. By his death, we begin to witness his power, the power of God. Our Lord himself said in John chapter 10, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." On the Sunday morning after he laid down his life, our Lord, of his own power, took it up again, thus signifying that his sacrifice was accepted, and that those for whom he came to save were indeed saved. Well, this brings us to our third point for the evening: the application of power and wisdom in the life of the redeemed. Several thousand years ago, God revealed to Moses the events of the world's creation. Now, we know that all Scripture reveals Christ and him crucified. If only we had eyes to see. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." The word translated creature here is also translated creation in other places. Now, we have seen the power of God and the wisdom of God revealed in the death and resurrection of our Lord. Now let's see it revealed in the redeemed sinner made a new creation. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read this entire chapter, going down through verse 2 of chapter 2. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose fruit is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, with the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. The first three verses of Proverbs states, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Wisdom speaks. It gives forth words to God's decrees. Power acts. It brings about that which God decrees. In Genesis chapter 1, God said, and it was. So it is with a redeemed sinner. The Holy Spirit, once beginning the work of salvation in him, brings forth the word of God with wisdom. And power and a new creation is formed in that one who is out form and void. Or, as Paul put it, without Christ, having no hope and without God in the world. Then, like Paul's conversion, we see the light and brightness of Christ's glory, which reveals some of the darkness that we inherit we inhabit by our Adamic nature. Then as the waters were divided from the waters, prior to our conversion, we were of a like mind of those around us. We enjoyed the pleasures of the world, and we had no thought of God. But with the Spirit's revelation, we are separated from those sinful pleasures. Oh, we still have the like passions of all other men. But we seek out others who have also been awakened to newness of life. Still, though, in these early stages of life, and as far as I can tell, it's an ongoing battle, we seem to be tossed about as the waters of the ocean, with no steadfastness, no peace, no foundation. We have troubling thoughts and we're torn by doubts and fears, feeling the weight of our guilt and longing for assurance of our salvation. And at times, it seems that we'll be taken under to never be returned. But in reality, this is only for a moment. It seems like an eternity when we're in the midst of it. But just as quickly as it feels that we will be overwhelmed, our Lord gives us a sure footing, and we stand upon the Rock of Ages. At times, it seems that we have only enough ground that we have a foothold. At other times, we have a vast continent upon which to trod. Sometimes I may have only the footing of the blind man before the Pharisees who said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." At other times, I've not gotten here yet, but some might. At other times, like the Apostle Paul, you can say, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." The Rock of Ages is our sure foundation. And we gather from this rock those things that we have need of. For from the foundation comes forth herbs and fruit-bearing trees. The Word of God provides us with our nourishment. We are fed by the bread of heaven, which causes us to grow and bring forth fruit. As it is with all temporal things, time passes for the redeemed, and as the sun, moon, and stars were given as signs and seasons, so we have seasons while we walk here on this earth. Sometimes we walk in full sunlight. We are able in those times, it's almost as if we're with Stephen, who looked steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God. Those are beautiful times. But there are other seasons when we walk with what seems to be little or no light. When we read the scriptures or attend services and our heart isn't warmed. We're cold to the things of God. We feel that we cannot pray, and the heavens are made to brass to our call. And yet, we have a little light. Stars are still shining. And we don't at last cave in to despair. Because that's just a season too, and it'll pass. We continue to grow, and God reveals to us even more. We begin to see things that are higher than ourselves. The fowls flying above us, calling to us to reach for things that we can't quite grasp yet. There are great whales beneath the ocean surface. There are things underneath the ocean that man has never seen yet. And yet, I'm certain that they're there. I've heard tell of such things. I believe they're there, having not seen them. These scriptures are full of deep mysteries, such as great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He who inhabits eternity took up the body of an infant. He veiled his glory and walked in the likeness of sinful man. I can't understand it, but I know it's so. He was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. These are great mysteries, deep and higher than I am. And yet, by God's grace, sometimes I can get a glimpse of the glory of Jesus Christ in His Word. And then there's the beast of the earth. Beasts that are in general more powerful than I am. Some of them are given as a help. We use cattle to plow the ground, horses to get from place to place, dogs for our protection. Some of them are for our help and our encouragement. Some of them are fearful beasts. And they put me in remembrance of just what a lowly estate I am. And my needs are met by my Father. And they cause me, when these fearful things come about, the illnesses, financial troubles, loss of a loved one, I'm driven to my Father. I'm driven to Him, and I cast all my cares upon Him that is able to keep me and to save me. And finally, God created man. We have companions in this journey of ours. They're created like to one another with Christ in us, the hope of glory. They're to help us, to encourage us, to comfort us as we sojourn through this world. The Holy Spirit gives us a longing to gather together with them, and He knits our hearts together with brotherly love. And at last, after seasons, trials, and toils upon this earth, we can look forward to seeing our bridegroom coming. And He calls us home to our rest and His rest with Him. Christ Jesus, the power of God and the wisdom of God, has accomplished the salvation of His people. The Son of God became a man He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He suffered, bled, and died for sin that he did not commit, but he took it as his own. By his own power, he laid down his life, and then he took it up again to redeem those he chose before the foundation of the world. As the wisdom of God, he declared the way of God to be just and the justifier of sinful men. As the power of God, our Lord became the way for men to approach God and be accepted. To approach God in any other fashion than through Christ is to call question to his wisdom or to deny the power of his precious Son. God the Father is well pleased with his Son, and sinful man shall not stand in his presence while charging his Christ with lack of power or wisdom. Jesus Christ said of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus Christ came to save sinners, not the righteous. If you would see the Father, you must come to Christ as a guilty sinner. None who ever called upon him in need were turned away. Oh, that our eyes might be opened to see Christ Jesus, the power of God and the wisdom of God, that we might believe to the saving of our souls. Let's bow together and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. God, our blessed Heavenly Father, Lord, how grateful we are that in your wisdom and in your power you sent forth Christ Jesus to save sinful, wretched, vile sinners such as we are. Father, you purposed to call some, and as you purposed it, you sent forth the power to do so. And we stand in awe and amazement that you would look upon us who are nothing, who have nothing, and yet you've bestowed the riches of Christ upon us. Father, pray that you will bless the words tonight that magnified you, that brought honor to your name. And Lord, any foolishness, please take it away from us. Leave us with nothing but Christ, him glorified. Lord, as we go about, keep your hand upon us. Keep us by your power. Keep us looking and clinging to Christ Jesus alone. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Lord willing, Donnie will be back Wednesday night. You're dismissed.